Hi, I'm John McGinn on Clyde One.
Hi, I'm Kenny McLean. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Live from Stuttgart, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard live from Stuttgart as we reach our final Euros destination for now. After the high of keeping the hopes alive on Wednesday, attention turns to Hungary on Sunday. Kieran Tierney's tournament is officially over with the defender heading home from camp. The rest of the team are getting ready to head here tomorrow ahead of the big one. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me as always throughout the group stages is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Well, we've made the 230-mile journey south from Cologne to Stuttgart all in one piece. It was a peaceful train journey, unlike the last one, but we're here in the anticipation around the city is building in 48 hours' time. Steve Clark's men will be in the stadium just behind us, preparing for what could be one of the biggest games in Scotland's recent history. Looking forward to it, and looking forward to seeing the Tartan Army pour into the city later on this evening.
Yeah, it's getting a bit exciting now, Gordon. Everything gearing up to this so important game on Sunday night. And after Wednesday night, I think we take a lot of confidence. It'll be interesting to hear what the callers say tonight. The Tartan Army are here in full force again, supporting the team. So, fingers crossed, let's get into the next round.
Yes, we have moved on. We are literally in the shadow of the Stuttgart Arena where it will take place on Sunday. This will be the venue, hopefully, for Steve Clark's side to create a bit of history. We are just next door. There is an open window. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson, we can see at the back of the stadium, is right there. This is where it's starting to feel real. We enjoyed Cologne immensely, just like Munich before it. We got on the train, lots of Scotland fans on the train heading here, and this, Mark Wilson, is where it will all come down to.
Well, it's pretty special. For anyone that's not been here and on their way here, you'll be pleasantly surprised when you get here. Not just the stadium itself, but the surroundings attached to it. It is built for football and to welcome the fans. And it is getting real. I mean, we've been spoiled when we've got to Munich. We enjoyed it. And the pub that we did the show from, we got a real feel from the fans on those occasions. And then we had a beautiful position over the river in Cologne. But this is something special, being right next to the stadium, and we'll get a real feel of the atmosphere, especially Sunday when the fans will be packed round about this zone. So really looking forward to it. It's quiet-ish just now round about these parts, but it won't be for long.
Yeah, I agree with Mark. Just walking about outside, looking at the stadium from outside as well, Gordon, this place is going to be electric come Sunday. It really is, and it just looks a fantastic stadium. I think it's, 40,000 it holds, round about that. It'll be packed.
Taxi driver, yeah, told them that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you to the taxi driver
tell
for that.
Tell the taxi driver there's no tip, because it's 51,000. So he's but a wee bit off.
No, he said that Stuttgart get an average of 40,000, but the stadium holds.
It's 60 for league matches and 54 for international matches.
Well, 50, he did say 54, so we'll let him off with that.
Anyway, 0141 951 1025. Let's hope that's not a question on Beat the Pundit, but give us a call, let us know what you're thinking then. The news to come out of the Scotland camp today, probably not one that will surprise you. Kieran Tierney's tournament is officially over, so Scotland have confirmed that, a hamstring injury. He's heading back to Arsenal to be assessed, so let's get your final thoughts in on that. How big a blow is it? I assume for most of you it's as simple as Scott McKenna plays, because he replaced him the other night, or do you have some sort of other master plan up your sleeve for a defensive reshuffle? Because it is official, Kieran Tierney's tournament is over. So how do you reflect on that news, and what would you do to get around it? Give us a call. Any other thoughts looking back on Wednesday? Any thoughts in particular about what needs to happen going forward? Maybe you're heading out for the game in a couple of days and you're just adding the finishing touches, packing up the case. Give us a call on 0141 951 1025. It's not beyond the realms of possibility as well, if you've something from a domestic club football point that you really want to get off your chest, we are more than happy to do that as well. Just don't expect Mark Wilson or Gordon DL to know anything about it, because they're a maybe a bit wrapped up in Euros fever here, but we'll give it a bash. 0141 951 1025, and hopefully we'll get some live reaction in here from the Scotland fans as well. There's a game at the moment, Poland 1 Austria 1, 50 minutes on the clock. Slovakia 1 Ukraine 2 was the score earlier on today as well. So the Euros continuing in full flow, these group stages. Of course, our priority is very much Sunday. Let's cross to Gabriel, who's in the Scotland camp, as he has been over the last couple of days down in Garmisch-Partenkirchen. Gabriel, what is the latest? I think I've probably spoiled it, but the one obvious line to come out of the camp today.
Yeah, good evening from the Austrian border, Gordon. Scotland, of course, building up to Sunday's huge game. Matchday minus two here, which means we weren't permitted into training, as Steve Clark's side focused on shaping and specific tactics with Hungary in mind. I was at the press conference, though, caught up with assistant boss John Carver. The local government bigwig was down as well, mingling with the media. Mayor Koch presented John Carver with some sausages as a good luck charm, a local delicacy here in Garmisch-Partenkirchen, with a Scottish twist, blood sausage mixed with whiskey. Not sure if that's for your fancy, but now on to the serious stuff, Gordon. As you said, it's bad news on the injury front. As feared, Kieran Tierney is out. Left-sided defenders, Euros are over due to that hamstring injury he suffered against Switzerland. We're not sure how severe it is yet. As you said, he's gone back to Arsenal to be assessed. Carver said he'd flown home. Carver also suggested Scotland could switch to a back four if they want to.
And getting into the last 16 is extremely difficult as well, because we've never done it before, because it's hard. So we know what's ahead of us against an extremely good team. If you had said to us, we still have a chance of qualifying, going into the last game, snap your hands off. I can see why they've made them favourites. They're a good team. They're a very good team. Let's not forget, they beat England home and away 4-0 at Molineux. Now, for a team to do that, they're a decent team, and we know that. So we have to give them the respect. Well, we can't hide away from it, can we? Because it's true. It's fact. It's out there. So if we do it, we'll be the first team to do it. And people remember the team that do it the first time round. So that's what they've got to think about in the back of their heads.
Well, that was actually John Carver speaking about Hungary. Let's talk about them. He was speaking about how impressive they've been. They might have 0 points, but they've only lost one in 15 when they were heading into the Euros. Quite interesting as well, Carver was talking about learning from the previous campaign. We all remember 3 years ago what happened. He said that we similarly had that uplifting draw in Game 2 at Wembley when beat England 0-0, kept the hopes alive, but that in the Croatia game, the players were jaded, a little bit out of energy. And he said that this time they've learned from that and they don't want to lose focus, they don't want to overwork the players, and hopefully that makes a difference when Hungary come around. And Carver spoke about the power of the fans as well. He said it was an electric atmosphere in Cologne and that national anthem was unbelievable. Expect it to be even better this weekend, Gordon. So, of course, all eyes on the shootout in Stuttgart. But just before I hand back to you, I wanted to just check on the big man, the Dazzler. How is he? Because I looked after him for the last 8 days. I've been gone for one night and he's gone missing. Is he all right? Did he get lost again today?
What's happened? Okay.
Rumour has it you're the man that taught him how to use Google Maps, which is what was behind his disappearance yesterday. So I don't know if you're getting too much praise for looking after him, if that's the way.
I would call it a bad influence. He showed me how to get about the city.
I showed you how to drop a pin as well. Did you not use the drop pin feature when you got lost?
Yeah, but I didn't get lost. I was fine.
Anyway, I think we'll leave it there. I'll tell you what, let's actually hear from John Carver on the Kieran Tierney stuff, because like we said, that's the confirmed news. And I know we probably knew it anyway, but from the horse's mouth, sort of. Let's hear what the Scotland coach had to say.
We seen he had an issue the other night. Obviously stretched it off. He's got an issue with his hamstring. And as we speak, he's heading home to be assessed by Arsenal. And that's all I can really see at the moment. They'll obviously give you updates as they have it, but he's obviously extremely disappointed. If we do progress and we move through the tournament, I'm sure he'll be back to support us, but, you know, he's a young lad, he's got plenty of time, and he's got to make sure that it's right. Yeah, it's a blow because he's one of our top players, and, you know, in a tournament football, you need your best players on the park. And in particular with him, he gives that balance down the left-hand side with Andy Robertson and Callum McGregor, and they combine really well. So whenever any team loses the best players, then it will affect the situation. But it also is an opportunity for somebody else to step in. And, you know, we went to the game the other night against Switzerland and everybody was itching after the performance against Germany. So, you know, there's an opportunity there for somebody to step forward and make a claim for it. I think Steve's always talked about being flexible. And for a long spell, we went with the three and then we changed it just before we played Ukraine a few years ago. So we are flexible. We've played two different systems already.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I wonder if you've got any thoughts on that. This much trusted three at the back, maybe, just maybe, it will be readjusted given that Kieran Tierney is out injured. So give us a call, 01419511025. How big a blow is that now that we know it's confirmed? What would you do? Is it a simple case of Scott McKenna in? Would you shuffle something else around? And all your general thoughts ahead of that game on Sunday. I take it, Gabriel, it's fairly straightforward. The Scotland team, what's the plan for them over the coming days?
So yeah, Gordon, they'll be heading up to Stuttgart tomorrow. They've got their final training session, the all-important one that takes place tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. It will just be set pieces, things like that. Austin McPhee, try and work a bit of his magic, and then they'll be getting the bus up to Stuttgart, about 2.5 hours away from the border here before the huge game, which is of course taking place at the stadium just behind you.
Great, and it's great that the two children, the two schoolboys next to me, have eventually stopped giggling away at the name of the mayor. Yes, very good, we know, we're over it.
What was it? Yeah. I didn't hear. Name of the mayor?
It was a great opening from Gabs. It was. He's done his homework.
I think we move on before Gordon DL disgraces himself any further. You can get in touch on the usual number, like I said. You can send us a tweet if you want to get in touch. But the beauty of us being here live in Germany, I've been saying that all along, is that we can get some live reaction from Scotland fans here with us. And David is from East Kilbride, but he's in Cologne. He's in Stuttgart. How's it going, David? All good?
Yeah, it's all good. It's been great so far. I've been here since Tuesday in Cologne. For a couple of days and down to Stuttgart yesterday, so it's been fantastic. Just everything so far, but the trip's been great.
So games 2 and 3 for you?
Yeah.
Brilliant. And you got tickets? So are you going to watch?
We have. We've got tickets.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we're the game on Wednesday night there, and the atmosphere is like nothing I've experienced. It was unreal.
And yeah, in theory, because of the kind of shootout must-win nature of it, it might even be cranked up on Sunday. How much you're looking forward to it?
I'm really looking forward to it. A bit trepidatious. Obviously we're in this sort of situation at the last Euros as well, where we're in a good position, got to the last game and we didn't really show up for it. So I don't think that'll happen again. I think there's a different mindset, and I think we'll do okay on Sunday.
How important is that? Because Craig's mentioned that John Carver's speaking about it, that you can see the parallels. England game was great in the middle, and it was an incredible physical effort, one that you could see taking its toll on the players right at the end, much like it was the other night. That then raised everyone's expectation going into game 3 in the hope that they could match that or even build on it, and that did not happen. Is there a real danger of that this time?
No, I think the plus for the team is at that point they were very inexperienced. They've got the experience behind them, they'll know that. They'll have, plenty of meetings, sitting down, talking about that, discussing it, the patterns and everything about it. So I don't think that'll come into play Sunday, Gordon. I think if Steve Clarke can get the right team, and it's quite interesting that you hear the assistant manager there talking about we're flexible, we can play different formations. Is he putting something out there? I'd be very, very surprised indeed if they change to a back four, but I spoke to one or two Scotland fans today, and the first question they asked was, right, Tierney's out, he's a massive player for us, is that a change of system? So that's got to be the big talking point over the next couple of days.
And let's be honest, who we're facing, Hungary, without being disrespectful, they are not Croatia. Croatia were just coming off the back of being World Cup finalists not long before Scotland faced them. And okay, I remember the build-up, and we were having a bit of a go at some of their players, saying that they were ageing, particularly Modric. And of course, it was anything but that. That guy just goes on forever. And he was terrific on the night. Hungary are a good side who came into this tournament in good form. But you've got to expect that two defeats on the bounce has got to have taken its toll on them in some respect, whether that be mood or drain the legs a touch. whichever it is, or if it's both, it's got to be good for us. We're coming off a high, so let's hope we use that. And like Daz says, experience of previous tournaments. With every passing major tournament or major finals you get to, you hope that the players learn and get better as they go on.
Pretty certain I called him Craig a minute ago, but his name's David, of course, from East Kilbride, who joins us. David, how big a blow is that Kieran Tierney news? It doesn't come as a surprise. You saw the distress. I think it was fairly obvious. But now that it's been confirmed, he's gone, he's heading home. How big a blow is that for you?
I think it's a big loss the way we play, because that left-hand side, a lot of our play comes down that side. And I go back to the Ukraine playoff game for the World Cup, where Kieran was injured and we played Liam Cooper. And it kind of negated what we were going to do against Ukraine that night. And I think it's a big loss. As Gordon said earlier on there, one of the things I was thinking, do we change shape to sort of accommodate that and not sort of go with three at the back, go with four at the back maybe, and go with, like, maybe bring James Forrest in, I don't know.
It is one of the most significant positional injuries we could have got, because let's even say John McGinn as an example. Extremely important to the Scotland team, but if John McGinn got injured, Ryan Christie would come in and play the exact same role, or Stuart Armstrong would come in and play the exact same role. Someone like that, or Lewis Ferguson if he was fit. You know, there wouldn't be any temptation to change shape because John McGinn got injured. But as David says, you could make a case to say that this whole system that we play, that we've played for years, has largely been built around fitting Kieran Tierney and Andy Robertson into the same team.
Well, you heard the assistant manager talking about, not just him, the balance there with Robertson and McGregor. So they work that. Obviously, that's a big strength for him. Look, Tierney was a bad, bad loss for us the other night. But look at the last part of the game when McKenna come on. Mm-hmm. We actually finished stronger. We look good. I will be amazed if Steve Clark goes with a back four, because I don't think we've got the personnel to change it in the middle of the park to keep the shape good. I think we finished the game strongly. I thought McKenna, come on, he was aggressive. He got a booking early, put himself under a little bit of pressure. He's got pace. He's got a nice left foot. You mentioned there about Liam Cooper, another one that one or two callers have already this week been on saying, look, why is Liam Cooper not on the side? I like the balance. He's a left-sided player. I don't think you start ripping everything up, Gordon. Yeah. Put it this way, if Tierney was fit, we would still play a three Sunday night.
Yeah, but he's not. And the game that was used for reference from John Carver is an interesting one, Mark. I don't know if people remember it. It was Ukraine 0, Scotland 0. That was the draw we needed to progress in the Nations League and have a success there. The difference of that night was the back four was Hickey, Hendry, Porteous and Taylor. So actually Robertson and Tierney were missing that night. And then also on what David said, you then probably need to adjust something elsewhere for width. Ryan Fraser started on the right side that night. Kenny McLean played a sort of left-sided role, and it was Callum McGregor and Ryan Jack. So that was a really different team. You know, Scott McTominay wasn't there, like we've mentioned, no Tierney or Robertson. Billy Gilmore didn't play the game either, or didn't start the game, I should say. So I don't know about that one for reference. It shows it can be done, but it still strikes you as being an even bigger, different set of circumstances than just having Kieran Tierney unavailable.
Yeah, of course. Look, I don't think we have the personnel ready to come in the right place, if that makes sense. So James Forrest is in the squad because he hit a purple patch at the tail end of the season. Does that make him stand out as a certain starter, as a winger in this tournament? Now, for me, Lewis Morgan, if you're looking for width, perhaps he could play there. But again, he was drafted in at the last minute. So again, not for me. And let's be honest, if you're changing the shape, and we've already lost some of our best players, you're then having to adjust and take one of our better players out the side. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to lose another. So that's the reason for me. Steve Clark won't change it. There's not been too many success stories. We have four. We've built everything that we've had. We have three at the back. And we have a natural left-sided defender. He's not going to overlap, but he can still get up the pitch and back up the play. So,
Mark, to get all these important players in, if he goes to a back four, he'll have to go 4-2-3-1 to get all these best players in.
David, what's the plan then? Is it an open-ended ticket or is it home on Monday regardless?
So we're supposed to be going straight, pretty much straight from the stadium.
on Sunday, straight to the airport, and then it's in a flight to Paris, and then an 8-hour wait in Paris, and then back to Glasgow.
Actually, that's too long. I think you should just wait around here and just see what happens.
I know, I'm actually panicked if we do actually win on Sunday. I'm the last 16 where I make that flight, I know.
Aren't we all? David, thank you very much. That was David from East Kilbride joining us live here in Stuttgart. If you want to join in from home, we'd love to have you. 01419511025, and we'll do that next.
Live from Germany with UK debt experts, the national team helping you tackle your debt. May not be suitable for all. Fees and disadvantages may apply. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Yes, welcome back to Clyde One Super Scoreboard live in Stuttgart. We've been live in Germany, across Germany, right throughout the group stages. And it's thanks to UK Debt Expert, part of the Credit Fix group. They've been on the go since 2007. So if you think of it in footballing terms, when James McFadden was scoring that goal in France, they were getting down to business, helping people like you struggling with debt they can't control. If you do need help, please talk to UK Debt Expert. There is a solution out there for you. So check out ukdebtexpert.co.uk. Austria have scored again. So it's Poland 1, Austria 2. Robert Lewandowski, unfit. Didn't even have his shorts on, sitting in the bench. Poland threw him on in a desperate attempt to go on and win this game, but it's Austria who've gone and scored. Still 20 minutes to go, so we'll keep an eye on that one. As we told you earlier, Ukraine beat Slovakia by 2-1. But of course, our priority is Scotland on Sunday. Let's bring in Andy, who's on the line from back home. How's it going, Andy?
Robin, good evening. I hope you're having a great time, mate. You and the lads, eh?
Do you know what? It's been magic. Not lost on us how lucky we are to be here. It's been good fun. We've been on the go a lot. The Dazzler's been up to his old tricks that we'll maybe need to get through later. But it's been good fun. How's it looking from back home? What are you thinking ahead of Sunday?
It's fine. I'm actually gutted that Austria's just scored, to be honest with you. I'm one of these sort of startup guys. I spoke to you before, you probably. I'm looking to see in the Austria-Poland game, if it's a draw, there's a possibility that Scotland can go through with 2 points. Based on the fact that Austria and Poland's last two games are against France and Holland, and also in the other group with Albania and Croatia, the last two games against Spain and Italy. So there's a possibility both of the groups, third place finish with just 1 point, actually. So I'm hoping Poland equalise, because I think we've got a better chance of a draw against Hungary than winning. But anyway, listen, that's not my point. My point is, I heard you guys speaking there.
Because I think I'm going to need to take your word for it on that. I must admit, the thought of going through in third place on 2 points had not crossed my mind. I'll leave you to figure that out, Andy. That's giving me a headache.
All right, mate, sorry. Listen, it's more about Kieran Tierney being injured. I do believe that we adopted the system we play to fit both of the guys in, and it worked really well for us. I think it's probably screaming out to play 4-2-3-1 on Sunday night. It's particularly against the five midfielders that probably most people want an opportunity to play. I think you don't. If you play 4-2-3-1, you don't need the two wide guys to be really wide. You could play. I'll tell you my team would be, if you don't mind. It would be Ralston at right back, because he is a right back. He's not a right wing back. He'll play in a more natural position. Robertson's one of the best left backs in the world. I think the big boy who came in the other night on the left-hand side of the centre-backs replaced Tierney, Big Scott, what's his name again?
McKenna,
sorry about that, I just went blank. Him and Hanley, I believe, are the better partnership. That means Henry when they play with McGregor and Billy Gilmore in front of them, which means you could have Tomine in the 10 each side of them. You could have McGinn and you could have Ryan Christie with Adams up front. So 4-2-3-1 for me. I just have a wee observation. I thought against Germany, I thought they found their weakness with the formation we've been playing. The two guys just rolling in of the hole in front of the back three. The back three not pushing up enough. So I think 4-2-3-1 might suit us. But as I say, I guess it'll be done. And then you've got an option, guys like Forrest and Armstrong coming on, if you need a wee bit of lid flare on in the game. So that's just my observation.
Okay, I don't mind it. It's certainly well backed up in theory.
I tend to look at the defensive side there more than the attack side in a tournament like this, and I get that's not everybody's first thought, because we spoke to supporters here on the ground who especially last night, I wish we would go for it and I wish we would throw more caution to the wind. But Stevie Clark's never been like that. He's never been like that with Kilmarnock, and he's never been like that when he's with Scotland. So if you're taking one of those centre halves away and taking them out of a back five, you're left with four. Now I want to be give Ralston the greatest respect. He's our third choice right back, so you're leaving him maybe a bit exposed in a back four instead of a five, because he's not got that natural cover from maybe a Jack Henry at right centre-half. The centre of the pitch, I think we conceded a lot, well, too many balls through the middle of our back three as it was. That's always a danger if you take away a centre-half and you become maybe strung out across the back. That would be my fear. I think Stevie Clark, with the way he's went in the past, would think the same. I could be wrong. I can see the point going forward in the midfield and fitting them in, but I just think defensively it might be a risk.
Also, aerially, we were pretty good the other night, mm-hmm. Gordon, with the three
centre-backs.
Three big centre-backs. You're taking one of them out. I suppose, as Mark says, it depends what your priority it is. Andy's system is good. It sounds good because it gets Ryan Christie into the team as well. So it gives you that attacking threat. It gives you that mobility. It gives you his energy, an eye for goal. But at the same time, the obvious thing is, yeah, you do. You're taking Jack Hendry out then, or Grant Hanley,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. After the opening of the show, Gordon, I've been sitting here thinking, puzzling. Right, if he's going to play a back four, the 4-2-3-1 is a certainty. Andy's right. If he's going to get his best midfield players in, that's the system. I totally agree with what Mark's saying. I would be a bit concerned with a back four. Hanley's not played a lot of football, right? But he would play. He's right about Ralston, and I thought Ralston, after the unforced error the other night there, a mistake, I'll call it. I thought he responded absolutely brilliant. Robertson is a left back. So I am starting to come round to the fact that I'm starting to believe that he may go with that system.
Something that you said, I don't want to be unfair on Anthony Ralston here, or unfair on anyone really, Mark, but I'll come back to something Stephen O'Donnell said on the show, I think the week before we flew out. And these are his words, not mine, because you know he does that thing where he's very self-deprecating and he acts like he shouldn't have been playing, and it's not, you know, it's unfair on himself, but he's the one that said it. He said that he felt when he was playing right wing back, that was also part of the five. He felt that he was maybe operating at a slightly lower level than the rest, and therefore there was others there to help out. So although we, and Andy's right, and I've said the same, We do tend to think that we built that system around Kieran Tierney and Andy Robertson. This was Stephen O'Donnell's own view of himself, by the way, which is a bit weird, if you ask me, but that it was also there as a sort of, you know, a comfort blanket sort of thing.
Yeah, I was on the show with Stephen that night, and it's the first time I actually thought of that. And, you know, Stephen has to give himself more credit than that, but maybe he had a point. You know, me, if I was playing right back, let's be honest, if I was playing right wing back in this tournament, I would feel much more comfortable that I knew the opposition I was playing against. I knew that a Jack Hendry was there with blistering pace behind me. It would make me feel more comfortable. And the other night, I thought Jack Hendry and Billy Gilmore could have helped Ralston a bit more in the final 15 minutes, because he was getting done coming in the inside. That's the danger. When you're playing against the elite, the top wingers, the top teams who have so much possession and work you all over the pitch, to then isolate you 1v1, a back four is dangerous unless you've got top defenders. And I'm not being unfair to the guys that are in our squad. I'm just being realistic. They aren't like the French back four or even England back four. We've got what we've got, and the system, I think, that we play helps us with the individuals we've got.
Andy, who's on the line, it was sort of been a penalty given in the Poland-Austria game. Andy, or has it? Is it a dive? Andy, now that we know it's confirmed that Kieran Tierney is absent, I know you've got the plan all sorted for how we fix it, but just generally, how big a blow is that?
Oh, crazy. He's a great player, great energy, enthusiasm with the team. I think it's a shame, actually. It looks as if he's a bit injury prone, and it's a shame for him going forward. I think, to be fair, you noticed against Switzerland, when we had on the left-hand side, they left us because they didn't want to press in. However, when we went over the right-hand side, when Hendry and Ralston were involved, that's when they pressed us. So other teams are seeing we're weak, like, and with Tierney and Robertson and McGregor joining on that left-hand side, we're very, very strong. So, listen, I get Mark's point, but my observation about the back four there, just with Tony Ralston, right, he won't claim to be the best right back in the world. However, I felt a bit sorry for him in the last two games, because when he's receiving the ball in these last two games, he's receiving the ball with his back to the touchline. He's used to, in games, having his back to goal, pressing on, getting in the other half and defending. And I think Szoboszlai played in the left-hand side. He dropped into the left-hand side area in the two games he's played for Hungary. And I know that I've said he's not the best right back in the world, but he gets his sell a boot big, Ralston. And I think he could, if you're looking for somebody to take care of, Slobosly, maybe just sort of get close to him. I think Ralston could do that job. But Tierney's a massive miss, Gordon.
This is where I do, you have a level of sympathy for certain Celtic or Rangers players in the past or whatever. When they go and play for Scotland, it's particularly now, if Scotland are going to try and have possession of the ball from the back, that is an entirely different role from what you face domestically week in, week out. And I know Anthony Ralston has played in the Champions League, but again, he's not Celtic's first choice. Where he receives the ball is so different from where he'll receive it for Celtic.
Well, it's clearly a difference, so never mind the team and the possession, between right back and right wing back. And people think it's just an easy switch, it's just the same. But
you know, Callum McGregor, I know it's different because it's a much higher level of opponent, but Callum McGregor will still be receiving the ball in pretty much the same area as he will domestically. But the right backs won't be.
As a right wing back, you have to keep the width, and when I say width, you have to be in the touchline. You almost have to be in the halfway line when you're trying to build from the back. Remember, it's your right centre half that's taking the ball in the kind of right back position where you've got loads of grass to look at. And you know, you can pick your pass. You've also got a guy wide, so you've got an option wide when you're a right back. You've got an option inside, or you can clip it in the channel. As a right wing back, you're getting on the touchline. You're maybe lucky if you get a glimpse of down the line, but everything's inside. And again, when you're playing against top opposition who's analysed the system you play in, they're going to let the ball go to you and they're going to squeeze from there. And that's what we've seen from Ralston so far.
Ross goes on Twitter, have the guys forgot we need to win the game? A back four makes sense. The teams have pinned our back five back and we've lumped the ball forward most times. An extra player in midfield makes sense. And I can see where Ross goes coming from. But I suppose the counter is, we maybe need to stop thinking of this as black and white. A back five is defensive and a back four isn't. I mean, beat Spain with a back five. Yeah. You know, it's not as simple as that.
Just play the system better. I mean, we played it better the other night against Switzerland. Can we go up another level against Hungary in the same system? I believe we can, because we've seen it before.
Okay, just before we move on, and thank you to Andy on the phone, by the way. Are you ready to win life-changing cash? Why would you not be? The lines are now open for your chance to win a quarter of £1 million. That is life-changing, isn't it? It's so simple to enter. Even just one entry could win you that 250 grand. All you need to do is text YES to 61025, YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on the website for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and those calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this network competition are online. The lines close at 5 p.m. next Friday when we make the call. This is the beauty of it. There is no phrase, no amount to remember. You don't have to pick up within five rings. Just answer your phone and the £250,000 would be yours. So text YES to 61025 right now.
0141 951 1025, live from Stuttgart. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Welcome back to Clyde One Super Scoreboard, live from Stuttgart. We're in the shadow of the stadium where it'll all take place on Sunday, and hopefully a good outcome for Stevie Clark's side. You can still get in touch on the phones, and please do. We're watching Poland, Austria as well, and maybe a slight surprise, the comfort of it. Austria are 3-1 up and could have added to it, so they're looking good for the 3 points in this one. I did say, of course, you could call, you can tweet, and we're getting live reaction from Scotland fans who join us here as well. This one's got a really good story attached. You'll have heard it. If you haven't, where have you been? We're joined by Craig Ferguson, who is the man better known for walking to the Euros. We caught up with him in Munich. We were there when he crossed the finish line, so to speak. It was a remarkable moment. How are the feet a week on?
Well, firstly, thank you very much for having me on here in Stuttgart. I think this is hopefully not the final city that Scotland fans take over, but it's a pleasure to be here. To be honest, the feet are actually doing all right. I mean, I was saying to folk that are asking me, you know, I'm used to walking about 26, 27 miles a day, so standing about and having a few drinks in the middle of German cities isn't the worst thing in the world, but it's been incredible. So, no, I'm buzzing to be here, taking in all the atmosphere until, you know, we go home whenever that may be.
Can you believe he got a taxi here? How lazy is that?
He got a taxi
Worn it.
Honestly,
take a leaf out of this boy's boot.
He's got no soles left in his trainers. Do you know what, though? I was thinking about this because I remembered Craig was coming on tonight, he, Gordon Dalziel, has been moaning constantly about how much we are walking. Today he was giving it, I've been doing 20,000 steps 20, a day.
20,000 steps, mate.
How many steps were you doing a day?
Well, I mean, to put it into perspective, I think I've been doing something like, you know, 65,000 on average. So, but it's not a competition. That's one thing to remember. It's not a competition. You know, 20,000 steps, I know more than anyone is a lot of steps. So that's still, it's still impressive.
Nice,
but yeah, I've definitely, you know, been doing my fair share. But I mean, the boys that I'm with haven't even took it easy on me. They're still like, last night we came out the stadium and we're like, right, how far is it from the ground? And they were like, oh, it's only an hour walk, let's do it. And I was like, boys, do you know how far I've come? But like, it's not an issue for me. If anything, I know the distance to walk it now more than anyone, but oh, it's been amazing.
How do you look back on it now? Because I guess the first few days would have been proper surreal. You know, we saw the emotion on your face when you, again, crossed the finish line, if that's the best way to put it. Has it managed to sink in yet, or is it all still a bit crazy?
I don't know. I mean, yes, I know. Like, obviously, the few days that, you know, after the finish line were just crazy. I didn't really have a second to, you know, take it all in, because I came over that finish line, you know, cameras pushed in my face, but it was the best possible finish to what was a challenge that I'll never forget for the rest of my life. And to be honest with you, I've not really had a second to, you know, take it all in, but I think that with the past few days, you know, we'll take in all the atmosphere, and the next few days, whatever may happen, I'll take it as it goes. And then when I go home, maybe I'll think about it all then, but I'm just here for the ride as it stands.
Take us back then, for those who are unfamiliar, how do you come up with an idea like this? What was the inspiration? What was the reason behind it?
To be honest, that's the, you know, million-dollar question. It's a crazy idea. Who thinks, you know, I'm going to walk, you know, 1,000 miles to get to the Euros, but obviously I wanted to do something special for Scotland getting here in the first place. It's no secret to say that maybe in history we haven't been the best nation and the most secure nation to get to major competitions. So I wanted to do something special in the first place. But not only that, you know, when I thought about the possibility for fundraising for such an amazing cause, I thought, I got to planning it, you know, I got the pencil and paper out and I thought, right, I'm in too deep here. And I got to planning it and I thought, I owe it to myself and for the charity to now do this. And well, you know, 6 months in advance, it is the best decision I've ever made in my life, and I can say that with confidence.
Just remind us of the charity, give them a shout out, and again why that was a route you wanted to go down.
Yeah, of course. Well, I raised funds for Brothers in Arms, who are a men's mental health charity based in Glasgow in Scotland. So, you know, a local charity based in Glasgow, who their number one aim as a charity is to prevent male suicide. So I think all of us sitting here can agree that it's such a, you know, important cause. And yeah, well, that's what I wanted to do. And like I said, you know, fast forward all this time, we're here after match day two, and you know, I've made it, so I can't complain whatsoever. You know, we've raised over £75,000 for that charity, and it's just been incredible so far.
Yeah, you aimed to raise 50, I think. You're sitting at 75. Donations are still coming in. An hour ago, someone called Tracy was donating. Tracy C, thank you for shining a light on young men's mental health. You're making a difference. It must be amazing to realise that it's still having that knock-on effect.
Well, that's it. You know, on the day of the final day of the walk, we actually hit the 50,000 target, which is just incredible. You know, it's almost like a script writer's, you know, sitting back home, you know, on the final day we hit the target, and then in the 3 days that followed, you know, raising 25,000 more. It's just incredible, and something that I never expected. I mean, just to let you in on a little bit of behind the curtains, before I even announced this challenge, I had set the target at £10,000.
Wow.
I thought that was very optimistic. I thought, 10,000, you know, that's something that if we hit that, that'll be incredible. But we actually hit 10,000 before the challenge even started. And then, like I said, you know, now we're sat here with 75 grand raised. It's just amazing.
Mark Wilson, you're doing Kilimanjaro in a couple of weeks, and I'm starting to think that sounds easy.
Yeah, I know, you've kind of shown me there. But just tremendous. I mean, try to put any, you know, in my mind how you go through day to day on that. And then we were chatting about it before. The days that, it's fine when it's sunny like this or dry like this, but when the rain's driving into your face, which I imagine it would be going from Scotland to Germany, surely those were the whoa moments.
Where were you when you hit your lowest point, would you say?
I don't know. I think in my head there were a few moments where, you know, you think, what am I doing? Why did I not just get a flight here? I think one of my lowest moments, and I'm not just saying this to, you know, be patriotic or whatever, but it was honestly the day that I left Scotland and crossed into the English border. It was a hard day for me because, as well, you know, the reception had been so, so good in Scotland that I wasn't too sure. You know, I was walking in the kilt the full time, you know, Scotland top, and I wasn't too sure what it was going to be like. But one thing I will say is every single country that I passed through, the people were just incredible. You know, the people were amazing. And once I sort of got into England, it was a very hard, long day. But after that, I quickly snapped out of it. And that is what was key during this challenge. You know, if you have one bad day, it's go to sleep, wake up the next morning, it's a different day. You know, you have to go into it with a positive mindset, and that's just as simple as it is. You know, you really need to snap out of it and make sure that you go into the next day with the sort of most positive feeling that you can.
Had you done any long distance walking or running before? What, you know, I mean, you're obviously very young and fit, but that's the sort of different level. What gave you the thought that it was possible?
Well, you know, I keep fit anyways. I like to go to the gym, you know, play football, all that sort of stuff. I would say that, you know, in terms of the average 20-year-old, 21-year-old male, I keep on the fitter side, but I had never,
no,
ever done anything, you know, like close to walking, you know, 1,000 miles. To be honest, I like doing crazy stuff that makes memories anyways, and I thought that it was one of those things that I just kind of thought to myself, you know, this would be something that I would never forget. And, you know, fast forward 4 years, I might never have the opportunity to do something like this again. And when that sort of thought crossed my mind, and I thought, you know, why would you not? You know, the worst thing that could happen when doing something like this is you fail halfway through and you've already raised, you know, a good bit of money for charity. So when that thought crossed my mind, I went, you know, you need to do this. You owe it to yourself.
There's only one thing that can top this.
Walk back.
Just walk back.
Well, it's funny you say that. I mean, I put a post out on my social media that promised that I would walk home when Scotland win the Euros. So, you know, maybe there's a wee bit of me that hopes that we don't just for that.
And did you turn 21 over here? Did I see that on social media, or is it around this time?
Yeah, you're spot on. It was my 21st birthday yesterday. Oh, as well.
Congratulations. I didn't realise it was so recently.
Yeah, well, thank you so much.
You won't forget that in a hurry then.
Well, that's it. You know, 21st birthday spent travelling across Germany to get here into Stuttgart before arguably the biggest game of our generation. I think that's fair to say without question, you know. So I think whenever I look back in the future onto my 21st birthday, it's fair to say that it'll sort of be tied into, you know, the whole walk and the whole Germany trip in itself. Yesterday I spent it chilling because I think I needed it after, you know, the 8 days of, you know, sort of just going hard non-stop. But it was amazing, and like you said, you know, I'll never forget that.
Unsurprisingly and well deserved, when you set off you didn't have tickets for any of the games. You, like I say, unsurprisingly now have tickets for all three. And probably the rest of the tournament if you want. What are you expecting? Leave us with a football thought. What's the football been like? How much are you looking forward to Sunday, and what are you thinking about on the pitch?
Well, I mean, it's no secret to say that I think everyone was left disappointed after the Germany fixture. I mean, we all came out here with such high hopes. The fans were just incredible. And it's fair to say that we probably left the Allianz with a little bit of, you know, deflation, to say the least. But after, you know, the result against Switzerland, I think that the team really put in a performance that was filled with fight, filled with a little bit of, you know, adrenaline, and that's what the fans just really wanted to see after that Germany game. I think everyone left the stadium with the feeling of, you know, it would always have been a miracle if we got a result against Germany, but you just wanted to see a little bit more of, you know, grit and fight, which Scotland are really much, you know, famous for. And yeah, it's fair to say that the result against Switzerland definitely left that. I can't walk all the way here and say that we're not going to get the win against Hungary. You know, I'm confident. I think some fans are maybe going into it a little bit too confident, but it's going to be a hard game. But with everything we know about Scotland, with the amazing support that we have, yeah, we're going to win it. We're going to win it, aren't we?
The whole thing.
Ah, your whole thing button on. More importantly, the Hungary game for sure. I think that it'll be a tight game, but we're definitely going to get the result, I think.
Craig, what an effort. You should be really proud of yourself. It's brilliant. Nice to meet you again. Good to see you. All the best. That was Craig Ferguson. What an effort. Walking
fantastic.
All the way.
21 as well.
Think of what he was doing in his 21st birthday.
No, it's not.
I wasn't walking to
Munich. No. Certainly not. I think we don't bother. Anyway, thanks again to Craig, and it is that time of the night already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. I think we're confident that we're going to find a victim in here. Will we do a live Beat the Pundit? I think we will. So sit back and enjoy. Mark Wilson or Gordon Dalziel are here for the taking, and one of them will play after these.
Hi, I'm John McGinn on Clyde One.
Hi, I'm Kenny McLean. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Live from Stuttgart, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yes, welcome back to Clyde One Super Scoreboard, live in Germany, live in Stuttgart. We've moved on. These boys hopped on the train. It was delayed. It's an absolute myth that German trains run on time, by the way, let me tell you. But we made it here to Stuttgart. We are right outside the stadium where Steve Clark's side will try and make history on Sunday, and we cannot wait. It's 01419511025 if you want to call, so please do. You can send tweets, as always, at Clyde SSB. And what an extra special touch for our live shows in Germany. We can get reaction from Scotland fans who are here as well. So before we do any of that, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. It's been a bit of a mixed bag, I have to say, over the Germany trip. We've had some contestants calling from home. We've had some live contestants. Who you played last night, Mark
Wilson?
No,
I played.
You played against the Dundee United fan last night.
Well, I wouldn't put that down as a good victory. He didn't know what day of the week it was.
No, he didn't, did he? He was not in a good frame of mind for Beat the Pundit.
I thought he was very good in it.
The highlight for me is that when he thought Ben Doak was still in the Scotland squad, and he was surprised that he hadn't come on in any of the previous games. I'm hoping we've got a bit more of a athletic performance from Dave and Blantyre, who joins us tonight. How's it going, Dave?
Not too bad, yourselves?
All good. Have you ever played Beat the Pundit before at home?
No, I haven't.
Do you just play along? Do you think you've got a bit of good quizzing knowledge about you?
I'd like to think so, but good. I'm about to embarrass myself.
I do that every time.
After seeing last night's contestant, you'll do all right.
I fancy Dave's chances, by the way. I just got that look about him.
I fancy your chances as well, Dave.
Anyway, heads, it will be Mark Wilson. Tails, it'll be Gordon Dalziel, who plays. Would you look at that? It's tails. Gordon Dalziel, take yourself away so that you can't hear what's going on. Somebody will need to man mark him because he will try and listen. Take him away, far away.
Especially in this place.
Andrew McLean is here. He's the bouncer. He's going to get him down. Oh, he likes it in here, doesn't he? Gordon Dalziel.
Loves it in here.
I can't quite put my finger on why, but he likes this bar. What's the stat? It's the biggest sports bar in southern Germany, apparently. It is massive to be in. He is a big fan of it in here, isn't he?
He loves it. We were playing pool earlier. There's a dartboard. There's all sorts of interesting things to see.
Yeah, he's a big, big fan of it. So we'll get him back in just a second. So, Dave, it's pretty straightforward. I will give you 30 seconds on the clock. You will answer as many questions right as you can. And if you want to pass and move on, that is absolutely fine, okay?
Okay.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock. And your time starts now. Lukas Podolski played for which international side?
Germany.
Which former Falkirk player played for Denmark last night?
Kasper Schmeichel.
What is German for two beers?
Zwei Bier Bitter.
Name either of the countries Euro 2000 was held in.
Holland and Belgium.
Who was the scorer of the last time Scotland played Hungary and won 1-0? Was it Matt Phillips or Robert Snodgrass?
Matt Phillips.
Which country... who's got more caps, John McGinn or Callum McGregor?
Callum McGregor.
Okay, let's bring him back. Gordon Dalziel, let's do it. Over he comes.
You're in bother.
Dave was good.
Aye.
Dave was good. You're in deep trouble.
Have a seat.
I'm always in deep trouble. Right.
You don't travel well. Your record out here. Have you won since we've been out here?
Two.
You've won twice?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
That surprises me. All right, 30 seconds on the clock then. Same set of questions to you, Gordon Dalziel. And your time starts now. Lukas Podolski played for which international side?
Poland.
Which former Falkirk player played for Denmark last night?
Oh, pass.
What is German for two beers?
I'd pass.
Name either of the countries Euro 2000 was held in.
England. 2000.
Who was the scorer last time Scotland played Hungary and won 1-0? Was it Snodgrass or Phillips?
Snodgrass.
Who's got more caps, John McGinn or Callum McGregor?
John McGinn.
Okay.
Oh, I was a dessert. What is 2 pints?
You're all over the place.
I know. My 2 pints. No, I was going to say DOS.
Dave, how confident do you feel right now?
I'm not too sure, but if he beats me, I'll be raging because he stole my chips earlier as well.
I noticed that.
You must have beat me there.
I saw you go by and stealing somebody's chips earlier.
That was Dave's. Anyway, that's how I say to him. I'll let you win a ball.
I'm looking forward to this. Let's go through these and find out.
Oh no, I didn't get a zero, did
Lukas I? Lukas Podolski, you've been in his kebab shop about 5 times in
Turkey.
Cologne.
No.
Germany. Obviously.
Oh, I should know. I know that, right?
Hence
okay.
Why, you know, we're here and we're in Germany.
Did you get that, mate?
Of course he did.
You've been in the kebab shop as well?
Did you go to Podolski's kebabs in Cologne?
Oh no, I missed that one.
Oh, did you? He's got his own chain of kebab shops.
Is that his kebab shop we were in?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, man.
I wonder who at home could. I think you should start a chain of something. I don't know. Right enough.
Yeah.
Get your suggestions in.
Right, come on, I'm one down.
Can you imagine
I'm
that at home?
Deals.
I bet you know what 2 pints are in Germany.
Well, he's ordered a few. Right. Yeah. This is poor from you. Which former Falkirk player played for Denmark last night, Kasper Schmeichel?
Oh, the goalkeeper.
There was a goalie in there.
Did you not see his dad interviewed him, I think, the first time?
I didn't see him.
Peter was on media duties.
Am I 2 down?
Oh, you better believe you're 2 down. And Dave's about to make it worse. Tell him, what's German for 2 beers?
Zwei Bier bitte.
Ach, he's peace out with that. Do you know something? I'd take one off him for even getting that.
Superb,
say
honestly
again. Dave, say again.
Zwei Bier
bitte.
Yep, perfect.
Zwei Bier bitte.
Name either of the countries that Euro 2000 was held in, Belgium or the Netherlands, and Dave got that as well. You are getting an absolute doing here. Dave is ragdolling you up and down the bar here in Stuttgart. The scorer of the last time Scotland played Hungary and won 1-0, it was Matt Phillips. You couldn't even get that right. You got that, Dave, didn't you? 5-0. 5-0.
I don't travel well. Go.
This is pathetic.
Don't tell me. I've got to get this one right. I've got one.
Who's got more caps? John McGinn or Callum McGregor? Dave went Callum McGregor.
You went
John McGinn.
He's a statue, apparently.
It is John McGinn. You finally got one on the board.
Sorry, I felt sorry for you, Gordon.
Oh, did you, Dave?
68-62 on the caps. And more importantly, 5 to Dave and 1 to you. That's the worst performance
I've seen since we got here. Right? I was away and.
You got distracted in here, that's why.
No, not at all. Not at all. I was told, Dave's a stato. He just looks a stato, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got a bit of knowledge about him, Dave.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well done to you.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Cheers, I appreciate
we'll
that.
Somehow get the signed ball. We didn't bring them here, obviously. We'll send it to Blantyre. Congratulations.
Cheers, boys. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Dave. Brilliant. There we go. That was a doing. You should hang your head in shame.
You've had that German area. 5-1.
No, but I'll tell you before we get any further, right? Who's his best mucker?
Best pal. I don't believe it's a stitch up, but Dave and our boss here, David, are very good friends,
close
friends.
And everything.
They go way back. I saw them hugging.
Before this started.
Do you think this was a stitch up?
Do you know the worst of that? Right, I'm sitting next to David here, and I'm looking at his laptop, and I can see the questions and answers.
You still couldn't.
You still got one.
So do you think that was a stitch up, because Dave, who played, and David, our boss, are like besties.
100%.
Tight.
Inseparable.
And then what he's done is
the hug that they gave each other when we walked in suggested two men.
Don't get me wrong, my performance wasn't
terrible. Another one of another guy that you don't like, producer Chris, has been on from Clyde Bank to say that it's your joint worst performance of the season. It is your second 5-1 apparently.
No, it's not my
saying. He only keeps track of your performance.
Oh no, he's got them all.
I think it's only yours.
He's got a spreadsheet.
Because he told me he didn't like you.
He's got a spreadsheet.
My record over here is played 5 and only won 2.
That's pathetic, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's true.
When you think about it.
Well.
I think you're distracted in here. I can't put my finger on what it is that's distracting you, but I think you're
good artwork on the walls.
You're distracted.
I've got to say, this is the best place I've ever been in.
0141 951 1025 on the phones at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Before we bring in another live guest, there is something that's really bothering me about what you've done today, right? Because
who? Mark?
You know, obviously you threatened this before you came over, right? Mm-hmm. And you've actually gone and done it, but it makes even less sense now than when you floated the idea. You've gone to Primark. Other shops are available.
Yep.
And you've bought a whole load of cheap t-shirts, as we can see.
Yeah.
And your master plan is to just bin them before you get home, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's a flawed plan anyway, but even more bizarre when we found out that you haven't even run out of your other clothes. No. So you've got clothes here that you've brought and not worn. Mm-hmm. So you've now gone and spent money on new clothes only to leave them here and put them in the bin. I think that's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
It's not real, it's good thinking. One, when I go home, it saves me a lot of time washing the stuff I've not worn. I can't be bothered taking everything out of the case again, so I've got 3 days left. I thought, right,
no, but
t-shirts,
like...
pants and socks. I'll tell you what, full bag, up to the room. Wilson's got a pair of my socks on already. He's not got my pants on. And what I'll do is, once it's all finished, I've got the bag, put it in there and leave it.
He says his issue was that his issue was he didn't know which underwear in his bag was clean or dirty.
No,
has he been doing the sniff test?
Well, do you not think that's a very good idea?
No, honestly, I don't, because had you run out of your other clothes, then yes, I get it. But you haven't. So you've just gone and wasted it. Have you come into some cash or something in the time we've been over here?
No, not at all. I've always been...
I've never seen him so happy when he came in with that Primark bag. He kept going, €25. €25? That's not even 25 quid.
I tell you right now, I'll be back down tomorrow. There'll be more to come.
Anyway, right, 0141 951 1025 if you want to call. I love this because there's something poetic about the fact that we're usually in Clyde Bank. That's where Clyde One HQ is. And Gavin, who's our next live guest here in Stuttgart, is from Clyde Bank. How's it going, Gavin?
All good, gentlemen. How are we doing?
And even better, I mean, I don't discriminate against people who flew or walked, as Craig just joined us. You came in a camper van.
We did.
Drive the full way.
From Clydebank to Folkestone on the first night, and then from Folkestone to Cologne, where we stayed for a few days. So
some effort. Who was the driver? Shared responsibility.
Ian, we were going to initially do a wee bit of a kind of split journey, but he just smashed it, to be fair. So
Ian, the driver, give us a wave. He's too busy playing pool. Ian, the driver, Shark. Brilliant. Some effort. Driving all the way from Clydebank to Cologne. What an effort. How was that? Interesting.
It's been interesting, I would say that.
Did everybody else just sort of leave you into it and full on into party mode?
No, we'd all offered that to kind of give him a wee hand, and he was like, do you know what? We split up in sections, that's actually not too bad, so.
I'm all. I'm used to being the designated driver when people go play, but I'm not sure I'm driving from.
Wait, we could have done that with you.
Honestly, this has been bad enough.
We could have just sat in the back.
Planes and Trains with you two has been bad enough. That would have tipped me over the edge. That honestly, there's some effort from you all. How's it been? You enjoyed it?
Smashing. It's been smashing. So the Cologne setup has been. The campsite was amazing from that. And then we were in the fan zone earlier on today. It's brilliant.
Is there a lot of other people? Did you see other Scottish fans
far
camping
Scotland
out?
Scotland fans, far everywhere, mate. Aye, everywhere. Regardless of what game it is, it's just Scotland fans everywhere. So,
I mean, Mark, the day that you and I went out a run in Munich and left him doing whatever he does when he's alone in his room, we did pass a campsite, didn't we?
Of course,
we saw loads of Scotland fans. It's amazing to see the effort people have gone to get over, isn't it?
Well, crazy. I mean, the amount of miles, the amount of money that goes into something like that, and the effort. You know, sharing that tight space with so many of your pals is challenging, but I suppose it's, for some, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Munich, we've seen it. I've seen a bit in Cologne as well, down by the river. I've seen it the morning after the game. A few sore heads. I don't think they were driving anywhere, but terrific effort.
What about the football then? So you got the good bit. You went to Munich. You got to Cologne when it sort of stayed alive. How's the optimism now?
Aye, we saw the Munich game for a wee boozer in England, so that didn't go down too well, to be honest with you. So,
were they all celebrating around you?
Aye,
you deserve a medal for that.
Terrible, I know, awful. The second game in the fan zone, so it was a good, great atmosphere, to be fair, actually. So, I just wanted to say score within the tournament. That's a kind of fairly low bar.
We do set the bar low, don't we?
Aye, you need to.
It was like that Callum McGregor goal in the previous Euros. It was like all we had. At least this one led to a point. What's the feeling then ahead of Sunday? Is it going to be fan zone again? Have you managed to get tickets?
I'm back to work on Monday actually, so I'm back. We've got a flight tomorrow. Myself and my pal Ryan. So the other three gentlemen that are here, they're quite fortunate, and they've got tickets for the game. So
superb.
Back on a flight back to Clydebank tomorrow.
We could get him the day off, surely, could we not?
My work colleagues are going to be watching this at the moment, so if you have free tickets, I'm sure my manager will be quite sound when we take Monday off. So
great publicity, I'm sure.
NHS employee as well, so come on, we can get it.
He's doing his bit.
Fiona,
I'll
take a day off on Monday. Come on, let's do this.
He's tugging at the heartstrings here as well.
No chance. Fiona switched off.
Fiona's not interested at all. Hi, Fiona. You think Scotland can do it? You look at the official news today out of the camp. I think we all knew it. Kieran Tierney's tournament's over. Add him to everybody else that didn't even make it over here. There's a bare bones element in some departments, but what are you thinking?
As long as we all just leave everything we've got in the park at the end of the day, to be fair, just give it everything we've got. Obviously we're missing some key players and that, but however, it's just our work in the day, to be honest with that as well. So just leave everything out there and we'll see where we go.
Yeah, I wonder if Hungary's psychology comes into it, because you know the format of this tournament, as we're hoping to take advantage of, is you can go through in third place. They don't have any points. But you know, it's not officially over for them yet. You know, they could still come out all guns blazing. They'll try and beat us, move themselves onto 3 points. They'll probably need to claw back. What are they, -4 goal difference? I think at the moment, yet 2-0 against Germany and 3-1 against Switzerland. So, I don't know. I don't know how that
you would just
things.
Like. Yeah, you'd just like to think that their mood in the camp is lower, much lower than ours, coming off the back of 2 defeats. But you're right in saying that it's still a realistic possibility that they qualify. Again, on Sunday, I think that's why it's so important that we get the first goal. Because if we get the first goal, you know, it just...
So maybe their heads do go down at that point.
Doubt. You know, if they've lost 3 to Switzerland, 2 to Germany, and Scotland go ahead, then of course their heads go down and we can then really punish them then. So... it'll be an interesting one. Is the way this tournament's formatted now, where some of the third teams able to go through, has made these last games so intriguing for a lot of sides, never mind just us.
So you're going to be heading home. Does that mean the camper van's got a few extra spaces in it?
Personally, I wouldn't mind. The first few nights were smashing, but the last one, I think the climate here is a wee bit different, so it was
sweaty.
It's not great, man.
Because
not
I'm
great.
Thinking I could send you two right back to Clydebank, so you'll be back
for the shows
perfectly in time for back next week's early. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I'll fly home in peace. You two take his place in the camper van.
That sounds good. And I love the fact that he just went and I winked to me after say go, because it'll be a good trip back. You fancy it?
No thanks. No. I'll take the point. You go with the boys.
Anyway, thank you very much, Gavin. It was a pleasure. Enjoy your trip home.
Done, Gavin. He's won to Scotland.
Absolutely. Well done to Gavin. From Clydebank as well. I like that, joining us here in Stuttgart when we're used to doing things from Clydebank back home. You can give us a call right now. It might be a good time to do it on 01419511025. And if you do it right now, there's a good chance we will get you on next.
The Tartan Army Tour of Germany moves on to Stuttgart. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yes, welcome back to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. We've made it to Stuttgart. We're looking forward to it. This will be the scene of a potentially history-making night for Scotland on Sunday. I have to say, what a contrast from you two. What will we call it? A lesson learned? Because we made a big deal about it, and there's nothing worse when people keep bringing it up. But obviously the train from Munich to Cologne was a real low point in the trip, particularly for you two.
Not for us, we enjoyed it. Yeah, maybe you didn't enjoy it.
But the aftermath, though.
Oh, it was low for me Monday.
Was low.
But I think today, your head screwed on, we're up nice and early, train from Cologne down to Stuttgart, no hassle. We even booked seats this time, which was great. Beautiful. You know, that helped. Certainly, but I have to admit, I think the highlight of the trip for me
is
that the Maryhill Mourinho, Mark Wilson, was doing his analysis. Was it for the Partick Thistle under 18s, or was it for coaching badges?
It's for a UEFA badge. Yeah.
Mark Wilson's doing his he's studying for his coaching badges. So picture the scene. He's got his laptop open, he's got some video clips, and his guru, his coaching mentor, Mr. Dale, is sitting next to him. It's like, you're Sir Alex and he's Steve Bruce.
That's it.
It's that sort of thing.
Steve Bruce. You know what I mean? Why have you given me Steve Bruce for? Because of my nose?
No, just because, you know, he's been there and done it and he's trying to pass on the experience.
Steve Bruce.
Would you prefer Pep and Mikel Arteta?
Aye, something like that. It's a bit better than Steve Bruce.
So Mark's got these clips up and he's looking at different things, different formations, and Gordon Dale gets very excited and he leans over and he's pointing at the screen and he's going, no, him there, why is he not making the run? Why is he not making the run? And it turns out it was the ref.
Mark turned and
I kept saying to him, what, this player? No, not that player. And I kept moving the mouse, that player? No, not that player. That player? That player? I said, he's in red, mate. He's the ref.
He kept saying to me,
he was just taking up a really good position.
No, I couldn't see it right. I was sitting at the side and I'm looking and he said, we're in the dark colours. And I went, yeah, the guy there, get him to make that run inside and you can play a nice ball. And he went, that's a referee.
It's amazing.
This is a guy who's getting cutting edge analysis on the show.
It's amazing that you're...
I tell you what, the ref could have made the run.
It's amazing that your coaching mentorship hasn't quite taken off. Anyway, we've got yet another live Scotland fan here, loads joining us tonight. Alan's from Bishop Briggs. How's it going, Alan?
All good, thank you.
Are you surviving?
I've only been here one day, so I've got another 3 days to go.
The
so,
way Alan was talking when he came over, and I'm listening, his throat's going a wee bit. I thought he'd been here for about a month. It's one day.
I'm a bit of a singer.
It's worn you
that's
down.
That's what it is, aye. It's
Alan,
down.
By the way, Alan has got all the enthusiasm of a guy that's just arrived. Kilt, the limited edition 150,
best
the
top.
Best Scotland top. Yellow Lidl sunglasses, obviously. I didn't know such a thing existed, just to top it off.
Match your brother-in-law.
How's the trip been so far?
It's been very good. We arrived yesterday morning about 9 o'clock. We took in the England game last night.
As in, went to it?
Went to it, yeah. Yep.
So was that?
Bizarre.
You said that Scotland.
We literally arrived, ditched the kilts, put on some shorts, went to the England game.
To celebrate the Denmark goal?
Of course. But you know, the Denmark fans were fantastic. It was really, really good. What an atmosphere in that stadium yesterday. It was really good. Like, the English fans, not so much.
The fallout from that, just quickly, the fallout from that's remarkable, isn't it? Because I know they've got all these expectations and hopes, and you know, they do have good players on paper. If you were a cynic, you would say you've not really won that much at international level to have the hopes that are that high. But they're all furious after a draw, aren't they? Have you noticed some of the stuff today?
Well, yeah, of course, but so they should be. I mean, you look at the talent that they've got in their squad and the guys that they actually left behind and still, you know, kind of beat Denmark. Denmark are a good side, but it's the usual belief and
we would take Jack McGrealish, wouldn't we? We have to probably admit that.
I can't believe he's up the road. You mentioned before he's on all the mayonnaise adverts over here. he's back home having a barbecue himself.
I'd like to see the small print on that contract, if he's still allowed to be the ambassador. Anyway, so... Did you always, I take it the plan was always just to come over for this third game?
For this third game,
so were you worried then? When you see game one, are you thinking this could be a wasted trip, this could be a dead rubber?
As I said, we flew out on early hours Thursday and watched the Scotland-Switzerland obviously on the Wednesday night, and I said to Ben, my brother-in-law, I said to him, like, see if we get beaten this, what are we going over for? You know, obviously we're going for the party, that no doubt about that, but... at least we've got something in it, we've got something to go for now that we're travelling over there, it means something to us. And yesterday in particular, being in Frankfurt and being in the square, it was full of England fans. Coming over here today and travelling over in
totally
the train,
different, isn't it?
And you just start to see these Scotland fans coming out of the all areas, and they're singing, they're dancing, they're celebrating, they're cheering. That's why we're here.
That's a great point, because absolutely. It was nerve-wracking for us, and I think it was nerve-wracking for everybody. But for some people, it was like the trip would have been like hinging on it. You still go and you still enjoy yourself, but everybody, and weirdly of all the kind of people I know personally, like friends, who are most of them coming over for one game and it's this game, and it was always clearly the hope that it would matter. That's why the other night was so important.
Well, that's what I said the other night. It wasn't about the performance. Of course you want to play well, you want to play with confidence. It was about the result, to keep this game and Sunday alive, because the amount of people that will have planned their trip just for the third game is incredible, and you don't want to come over here, as much as it's a fantastic place to be and the atmosphere and everything about it, you want to come over with that excitement thinking we can still qualify. And that's why I say Steve Clark and the boys deserved a lot of praise on Wednesday.
This bit that we don't see, Mark, we heard from Gabriel down in Garmisch-Partenkirchen, so... to keep using that UEFA speak, on match day minus one, they'll open up the training session for 15 minutes. But today, it's serious business, if you like. You know, it's all behind closed doors. They will be trying to strike a balance, I guess, between recovering from the other night, but making sure they're also still, you know, sharp and good to go. How important do you think this bit is, this bit that none of us see, whether it is physically or indeed mentally?
Well, I think today would have been Hungary specific. Now, that's no meaning that the players would have been going full throttle, but I believe today would have been used to run through what Steve Clark's thinking. We've chatted at the start of the show if he was going to change the shape, if he was going to just stick to the same shape he's been playing, but just change a few personnel. That would have all been walked through today on the pitch, I'm pretty certain of that. And then probably a lot of time spent video analysis, picking over things, picking holes in the opposition, highlighting the dangers. And tomorrow will be much more of a lighter session, you know, a bit of fun for the players. Because it's important that players still get some contact football. You know, we were just chatting about five sides and six sides with David, but actual professional players love that the day before a game as well. So it's about keeping the players happy, you know, keeping them ticking over. The ones that aren't in the squad might do a wee bit extra tomorrow, and then set pieces. So that's tomorrow, but today would have been specifically on the game, I'm sure of that.
And that's where, Gordon, this bit, we've not seen it over the years, loads. But you hear about it, you know, mentioned England earlier on. Sometimes when a tournament doesn't go to plan, that's the bit that people will moan about. Oh, you know, they didn't get to see their family enough, or they got to see their family too much, or the camp was boring, or, you know, this bit that none of us really get to see. I'm nosy by nature, but fascinated to know how it's been managed down there, because that must play a massive role on how we'll show up on Sunday.
100%. It's down to fine planning, Gordon. From the minute you leave to come over here, Steve Clark will probably give the boys some time to themselves as well. We've met some of their families, their wives and kids over here. They'll probably meet up with them for a short, brief spell. But everything will be concentrated on the games. And Mark will tell you, we've been in football, club football. You've been away for a couple of days preparing for a game. It does get quite dragged in. So it's important that you keep that team spirit, keep everything going, and make sure it's a fine balance for the players.
Alan, you arrive here to find no Kieran Tierney. He's heading the other way. He may be past him. How big a blow is that?
Massive blow. He's a big player for Scotland, no doubt about that. Just got to hope that we can kind of fill that void and you know, progress and do what we can do on the day, no doubt about that. I think we've got to go for it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'd like to see Shanklin starting. I think he's, you know, he's always sniffing about a goal. I think he's in, you know, a good shout for that. So I'd be starting him. At the back,
Scott McKenna came on, didn't he? Sort of looks like maybe that. This is obviously, we hope the tournament's prolonged, of course we do, but you get to the third group stage, you sometimes realise actually how little of the squad is used. That's not a Steve Clark criticism, it'll be across the board. You know, you bring a massive squad, you bring 26, you think back of all those nights you spend moaning about who the third choice goalkeeper is and who the seventh choice midfielder is. You forget that in the heat of battle there's not that many changes. Would Lauren Shanklin come in for a start, or does he play more certainly than he did the other night?
No, it's not about just giving Shanklin game time over here, but I agree, I big fan of Shanklin. I think playing with confidence, the season he's had, the goals that he can score. But I look at the game the other night, and I've got to say that Adams hasn't scored here, but the other night I thought he was terrific. You know, the work he'd done up front, the pressing, you know, try to hold the ball up, try to bring other players into play. It was that good that we were all probably crying 20 minutes to go, 25 minutes to go. We looked like we could win it. Get Shanklin on. Steve Clark decided to keep him on to about 3 or 4 minutes to go. So it told me that he must be a big player for Steve Clark. I love Shanklin. I think he's been brilliant. I think I would love to see some of them coming on tomorrow, Sunday, and maybe getting a couple of goals or getting a goal and getting his Euro started. But he'll go with his strongest 11 and his first pick up front. And his first pick is Adams.
Alan, what's the plan then? Enjoy the game. What's the...
I don't, I don't disagree with what you're saying there, Gordon. I think Shea Adams, his hold up play is absolutely brilliant. You know, he does. He brings so much to the Scotland team. But sorry,
I keep moving the mic. I know, bringing it back to Alan's mouth. Don't worry.
In particular, like you're saying there, he came on with 4 minutes to go at the end of that game. I'm looking at maybe 15, change that 15-20 minutes. Give him that opportunity. Give him that Smith. Give him that up. You know, and it's not taken away for Adams. I think he's a great player, but I just think we need to win. We need to go for it.
No, I think, I think a lot of people agree.
Lauren Shanklin, I think it's going to be a better fit.
What's the plan then? So when you're heading home, what's the...
So we're back on Monday evening. So a few drinks tonight, maybe head back into the square. It was quite quiet, actually, Lauren. I was surprised.
The Scotland fans will just be arriving.
Slowly.
I do wonder about this as a venue compared to the others. This is completely anecdotal based on like the five people I know that are coming to this game, right? So it's not a huge study. But I feel like a lot of people this time are maybe staying in Munich. And then travelling on the day of the game, so I don't know how that
was. That a couple of hours away?
Will impact
things. On match day, the square will be packed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Brilliant. Alan, thank you very much. That
thank
was a
you
pleasure.
For your time, guys. Thank you.
Do you know what? You wouldn't realise this, but you were full flush. Your big moment, you're on the show. I looked at your brother-in-law and he just couldn't care less. He was just eating his pizza. Cheese was just dripping down everywhere. He's no bothered. He's got his priorities. Brilliant. Thanks very much to Alan on that usual number. Plenty more time, whether it is callers or whether it is guests here live. We can do whatever you fancy. Do you know what we've not had yet? Maybe this is wishful thinking. Maybe we'll not get one. Wouldn't it be good if we got someone who came on air, but like they weren't meant to be here? You know, we've not had any of them yet. Like someone who's just ran away. Told their family they're away in business, and then they pop up on Clyde One Super Scoreboard with a kilt and Lidl sunglasses on. You know that type of thing.
Yeah.
There must be somebody out there.
Is he not meant to be here?
No, he.
Oh,
no.
Right. I thought you just put him in there.
Well, I don't know. Maybe, but that's my hope. I just feel like we've had loads with great tales of people that have walked, had camper vans, flights. I feel like it's the one bit of craziness that might be missing.
Did I ever tell you a story when I was younger? I remind my dad this all the time. He came in through the pub one night and said, I'm away to see Celtic against Borussia Dortmund. And my mum went, no, you're not. And he went, aye, I'll see you later. And walked out, and he just went to Dortmund 2 minutes later. Didn't see him for about a week. I swear. I've always bring it up because I was saying, oh, can you take me? And he says, aye, I'll take you. Don't worry. I'll be back in a minute. And he left.
Cruel as that.
Bad.
Let me tell you the truth. He didn't go to Dortmund.
When would that have been?
I must have been early 90s. 90, maybe.
I'll be back in a minute.
Off to Dortmund.
Did he buy his stuff for Primark? Because he never packed a case.
That is grim. That is, I have to say. Anyway, now it's your chance to win cash as well. I'm looking forward to this. All you have to do is simply guess the results of the next three games at the Euros. And it's all thanks to Col Robert on our pundit predictor. It was Stephen in Thornley Bank. He had a go last night. He got Spain's win over Italy correct. And he had Slovakia leading for about an hour earlier today. But Ukraine came back to win 2-1 and ruin his prediction. The way this competition works, that's bad news for Stephen, but it's great news for you because it means it's a rollover. And tonight there are £400 up for grabs, and all you need to do is predict the outcome, not even the scoreline, just the outcome of the next three games. We'll see what Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale think as well. So for your chance to win £400 by predicting three games, that's it. All thanks to Col Robert. Give us a shout right now on 01419511025. Have your predictions ready. Lines close at the end of this break.
01419511025. Live from Stuttgart. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Welcome back to the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard live in Stuttgart. There's time to squeeze calls in if you fancy. We'll get more reaction from Scotland fans here in the shadow of the stadium as well. Before we go any further, though, let's give away some cash. Why not? That sounds like a good idea to end the night. We've teamed up with Col Robert for our pundit predictor. All we want you to do is predict the results of the next three games for your chance to win £400. It's rolling over because Stephen couldn't get the results last night. Can you do better? We've got Netherlands, France, Georgia, Czech Republic, and Turkey, Portugal. On the line to play is John from Airdrie. How's it going, John?
It's not bad, sir. How are yourself?
Not too bad at all. The stakes have gone up quite quickly in this, John. All you need to do, three games, £400. You like those odds?
Yep, no problem.
No, I hope it is no problem for you. Let's go through them then. So the first game is Netherlands-France tonight. Mbappe with his face mask on. Is that going to be a Netherlands win, a France win, or a draw?
France win.
France win. Tomorrow then, tomorrow 2 o'clock, Georgia win, Czech Republic win, or draw?
Czech Republic win.
Okay, and finally, Turkey win, Portugal win, or draw?
Portugal win, please.
There we go. That's the trio for John. Who played last night out of you?
Me.
Mark.
How did it go? Hopeless. Aye.
Did you get any right out of the three?
No, I don't think so.
None?
None.
Oh, over to you. Your serve then, Gordon DL. Yeah. Netherlands, France.
Draw.
Georgia, Czech Republic.
Czech Republic.
Turkey, Portugal.
Portugal.
Okay. No doubt about it from Gordon DL. Very nonchalant in his
Ask
predictions
him
there.
Who's playing tomorrow again?
Portugal.
Against who are they playing?
Their opposition.
I knew it wasn't listening.
Glazed over.
I knew it. I've shared a room with you for too long.
John, the good news is we'll find out tomorrow night if you win that £400, all right?
Okay, sir. Thanks very much.
Good man. You take care. That was John from Airdrie. I love that's a great competition because it can rack up quite quickly. And it's fairly easy to follow, right? This is not a great explanation for me. I'm not uncovering big secrets here. But if John doesn't do it, we're up to £500 just for three games. I really like that. I like that competition. So, Pundit Predictor, thanks to Col Robert. Right, I've been saying it throughout the group stages, that's a great chance for us to speak to Scotland fans live. And good when there's an extra story there as well. We had Craig who walked it here. We've had boys in camper vans and all sorts of good stories. We're joined by PG Charletta, who you may be familiar with because you've been out here gigging. You've been singing the song from Glasgow to Berlin. I think everybody's heard it. It's got everybody going in the lead-up. How's it been out here?
Yeah, no, it's been incredible. Obviously, I got a train from Mount Florida all the way to Munich.
Did you?
Got here on Tuesday with my stuff. So I've been gigging, doing lots of TV radio stuff and just seeing everybody singing it. And then, yeah, in Cologne especially with a gig there, which was absolutely jumping. And then I got a late call up to the fan zone, the big UEFA fan zone, which looked like a Princess Street, basically. If you can imagine that as a fan, so just a sea of people, sea of Scottish people having a good time, just singing all the songs. So it's been amazing. But music and football, similar in the sense, it's about connecting with people. It's about giving people a bit of hope and positivity and making people dream. And that's what it's all about.
People do always say that there's a slight similarity in the sense that, you know, you're out there trying to entertain a crowd and you hope that they're clapping and cheering rather than booing. Quite right, that's the kind of obvious that's like the obvious similarities. So how much of a buzz is it when you're up there and it's a Scotland song, it's specific for this, and you see people enjoying it? What does that feel like?
Yeah, like for me always, it's I'm a big fan. Like, I've followed Scotland all my life, being home and away, seeing some of the low moments like Georgia away when we had zero shots on target. Mm-hmm. So no, to mix two of my passions in life, which is obviously music and football, see it to come together and do that is a special moment. But I just see it as a case of just me doing my job, and you know, if I can get people going and people are excited and happy and are up for partying in Germany, because obviously that's my job to get them going, then the rest will take care of itself.
See, it's a bit like that. Like, look, it's just my job. I just hit it. It came back off Papachi's face, and I just hit it again.
One gig at a time, and all that.
I'm just doing my job, and if it makes people happy, brilliant. No, that's what I'm.
We're all rock stars. That's what we are, aren't we? Oh, we're entertainers, aren't we? That's what we are.
I'd have swapped.
To be a musician.
All day long.
So would I have. I would
all
have
day
well.
Long.
But do you want me to tell you why that is?
Because centre of attention.
Yeah, you're not a team player. No. You like being the centre of attention.
I can't argue with that.
What would you have played up on stage?
I'd have been I wouldn't have had a band.
Just a solo act.
I'd have been solo.
Like Elton John.
Jerry Cinnamon.
Jerry Cinnamon.
Well, no, my kind of music, but
you're more of a Joe Longthorne.
Do you know Joe Longthorne?
No one does.
Love songs. I'm more a love song.
Love ballads.
Ballads. Yeah.
Go-to?
I'm more ballads.
Do you know what's really doing my head in through this trip? Because I've known, obviously, I know this about him regularly, but when you're stuck in his company for 12 days, he knows the words to no songs. Like, every song he sings, he just makes up the words, butchers them in his own style. And we cannot escape. He can't even get the, those like simple Scotland chants. For some reason, it's gone out of my head. Like no Scotland, no party. I mean, like there's really not a lot to that. And he can't get the
Gordon,
John McGinn song right.
At 6:15 a.m. when he just wakes up and he just bursts into a little couple of lines of the wrong lyrics to some song.
Yeah. What on a serious note, PG? What's this full P period been like, even before getting out there? And always, I remember seeing on your social media channels your very own George Bowie. I saw you posting a video with him as well, and it just, you know, the attention that you had even in the lead up to it, and the full buzz. It must have been a really enjoyable project for you.
Yeah, no, it's been mad. So it went all the way back to when we played Norway away. So that was the day I played Isle of Wight Music Festival down south, and we got the late winner.
That's a big one.
And then basically, yeah, I just walked past a co-op and it was playing the dance tunes, and that's how I came up with the song. And then it went that viral that, you know, George had seen it. So we've obviously had my version, the GBX remix, and then from there it's just went viral, being played at Hampden, getting sung across in Germany. It's heading into European media. So it's just been mad. But that's what music's all about. You know what I mean? It's about the people. And same with sport and music, is if there's no people, then there's no football. Yep. There's no music. And no, it's been great. But I just don't want this to end. You know what I mean? I woke up sad before the game on Wednesday because I was like,
just in case this
could be the end. But obviously we kept positive. But I just obviously hope that we can get the result and we can keep going, because there's some buzz right now.
George was actually in the studio in Clyde One, just listening to us there as well. It's quite fitting how these things work out, because of course after us, GBX time back home Friday night. So I think he's nipped away.
I'm here. Oh, I am listening to you guys.
All good. I get a Friday. I
spoke to Josh more than I have my family.
I know you really have every day, mate. It's class.
How's it going?
We're ready for it. We're ready for the tunes tonight. Phil's remix is smashing it. It's good that he's hooked up with you guys. How's the gig going over there, mate?
Yeah, no, it's been incredible. Obviously, we had Cologne was about 1,000 Scots just absolutely going for it, and then the fan zone was tens of thousands. So, and it's been brilliant. The music's been going down really well, and yeah, people are singing it, people know it, and it's getting them going. So
you're noticing that back home, George. You know, you're feeling like, whether it's doing the breakfast show or GBX and some of the tunes that you've got, that it's just a different mood because everyone's attention's on what's happening over here.
Absolutely, Gordon. Even last weekend I was playing Tenerife, the week before I was playing Ibiza, and I was dropping the tunes there, like Phil's track, like Yes Sir, I Can Boogie, all that kind of stuff, Free From Desire, and they're all going crazy for it. They've just all become like the top tunes in my set now because of what's happening.
Brilliant. You get about, don't you? Listen, we'll leave you to it. I know you've got some show prep to crack on with. We'll speak to you Monday morning.
All right,
no
speak
doubt.
To you Monday, guys. See you soon, Phil.
Brilliant.
See you in a bit.
Thank you very much, George Bowie. Coming up very soon, incidentally. Let's finish with some football then. Yes, the music's great, the party atmosphere. Are you hoping you'll get to play it at the knockout stages?
100%. It's interesting because I'm getting a lot of invites now to go and play the fan zones back home. There is some big ones, so no, I'll make a call if we go through. I'm positive. I think we can get a result on Sunday. So we'll see what happens, but I want to stay out here. Obviously, with the song, we need to get to Berlin, so that would complete it. But fingers crossed. I know it's a big period in between, but now I want to stay out here as long as possible. I do want to go home. So
I was having it's hard to look because so much can change. I assume, is there still a scenario where we could play in Berlin? I'm getting ahead of myself here. I know the whole point is the final. That's what you're alluding to. We could still play in Berlin, I think, before the final. That'd be a nice wee moment for the song.
I think if we finish second place, which is tough now, obviously with the goal difference in Switzerland, but if we did finish second, we would go to play in Berlin. But I think the likely scenario is...
Just save it for the final then.
I'll just go anyway. But
right, final words from you two on the football before we go. What is the feeling now? Because again, today's been a tough day in the terms of news coming out of the camp. There's no Kieran Tierney. He's one of our top players. I know we knew that, so maybe we'd sort of come to terms with it, but it's official. It doesn't seem to be denting anyone's optimism over here. How do you feel going forward?
Yeah, I think I'm with the Tartan Army, everyone involved. The confidence has grown. I think it's grown after the fact that we've kept the Euros alive after Wednesday night. We were under severe pressure. We got the result. We're getting into this game. We'll have a massive following. The atmosphere behind us on Sunday will be incredible, through the roof. And I just think that, like the rest of the lads, a little bit of luck on the night, we will do it.
Yeah, the mood's still good just now, but you can just sense the anticipation. And I think for the players as well, it's still a lot to be decided. This isn't just a run-of-the-mill game that we expect the same formation. Things may change, and that'll be the interesting thing over the next couple of days.
Yeah, and I mean, for those players, Gordon, how excited will they be? Hopefully it is now more excitement rather than nerves. And we said maybe there was nerves in that first game. They've dug deep. They've got themselves back into a position. Hopefully the mindset's right, because they're going to make their way up here. Bus journey tomorrow. They'll join us here in Stuttgart. And then, of course, on to Sunday, it will be showtime here at this stadium behind us.
Their character was questioned after Friday night. They answered that on Wednesday. You heard the national anthem, Gordon. It'll be louder on Sunday. That will drive the lads on.
Big thank you to PG Charletta for joining us at the end. Thank you, of course, Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. Big thanks, as always, to everyone who called from home and sent messages. Much appreciated. We are missing you. We're missing you greatly out here, as much as we're having a really good time. And the biggest thanks of all to all the Scotland fans who joined us on the show tonight. Really much appreciated. Really making this feel like we're in the midst of something special. Tomorrow afternoon, we are back on our afternoon slot, and there's a bit of mystery about it, because we're supposed to be in the fan zone, but it's supposed to chuck it down with rain, so who knows where we will end up. But anyway, we will be here for you tomorrow afternoon, 2 until 4 UK time, 3 until 5 Germany time, so make sure you join us then, because the build-up is very much on. Scotland taking on Hungary on Sunday. Tomorrow, your last chance to have your say ahead of that one. Big night here on Clyde One, though. The GBX is up next, as you've just heard, and we will speak to you tomorrow.